John chapter 14. I want to speak to you about the way home. The way home. Whenever we attempt to get to a specific place, a specific destination, it's always wise to set a course. The more familiar we are with the specifics of the route, the easier it is to find our way. Conversely, the more unfamiliar we are, the more imperative it is that we set our course and navigate to that destination by what we know to be true. Even for simple trips to Prescott or Prescott Valley, we set our course. It doesn't take too many trips before long we are familiar with the way, and even more familiar with the way home. We get onto Highway 69 and we go. We don't have to take out the map. The map is good for those times when the destination is unfamiliar to us. It's a great tool in helping us to find a specific address or an unfamiliar street. But just to get to the general area of Prescott Valley does not take a lot of effort. Neither does it, or should it, take a degree in navigation from Emory Riddle University. We just get on the highway and go. Sometimes the road seems to head north. At other times we're going due west. Generally we are unconcerned because we know the final destination and the fact that Highway 69 will get us there regardless of its twists and turns. Sometimes it's becoming more often than just sometimes. It's our misfortune to be following someone who doesn't seem to have a clue whether they're coming or going or how they got onto that particular highway. If we had our way, we would wish that they had picked another highway to demonstrate their confusion. Usually when we are certain of our destination and have a great desire to get there, we become impatient with those who are hindering our progress. Now I know that's probably not true of you, so just listen to me talk about myself here for a few moments. The other day I spent several hours in Prescott on a dead-end errand. When I finally received the call that my presence was no longer required, I headed home. I was tired, frustrated, and I wasn't singing hymns. All I wanted was to get home. And you know what inevitably happens in times like that. Soon I was the second car behind a two-car roadblock, proceeding at a very sedentary pace, much lower than the pace that I wanted to be traveling at. The guy in the left lane, who was in front of me, wouldn't go fast enough to pass the guy in the right lane. And so it continued, mile after mile. I got close enough to read his bumper sticker. Actually, truth be known, I was close enough to read the VIN number on his dashboard. His bumper sticker said, "I'd rather be." And I said to myself, "I'd rather you would be too." The sticker said, "I'd rather be skiing." So I said, Utah's good. Better yet, Texas. He looks in his rearview mirror, and he sees me talking to myself. And he very gently eases his vehicle past the vehicle on the right and into the right-hand lane. I can just imagine what he must have been thinking about the man behind him talking to himself. As I passed him, I gave him a polite smile. I really did. A little thank you wave, and I was on my way. I knew my destination, and my course was set. I was going home. In order to illustrate this concept of destination and knowing where we're going, I've asked Barstow if he would assist me in a little dialogue here this morning. Now, the scene that is before you is a freeway gas station. Barstow is on one side of the pumps filling up his vehicle, and I'm on the other. Have you already memorized this? You know all of this? Amazing. Now I'm nervous. And as is often the case, when strangers meet on the highway, they strike up a conversation. Nice day, huh?
Sure is.
Where are you headed?
Home.
Where's that?
I don't know.
What city is it in?
I don't know.
What state is it in?
I don't know.
Is it here in Arizona?
No, I don't know.
Is it in the United States?
I don't know.
Are you all right?
Sure.
Are you on the right road?
Sure.
How do you know?
All roads lead home.
Have a good trip. What am I left to conclude about this guy? He's lost and doesn't even know it. Either that, or he's messing with my mind. Unfortunately, that's how much of the world views their destination and sets their course. Even more unfortunate is that we, as Christians, leave them there by the side of the road. Sometimes we'll pass by with a smile and a wave. Christians can be real friendly people. But it doesn't help that man's plight one bit. He's still lost. He's still confused. He knows that there is a place called home. He knows there is a road that will get him there. But he's not sure about anything else. Our traveler is right. All roads do lead to eternity. But it might help to know whether you're going north or south. Oswald Chambers made this statement, and I quote, "All heaven is interested in the cross of Christ, all hell terribly afraid of it, while men are the only beings who more or less ignore its meaning." Many times, when I leave church in the evening to go home, I will leave by this door behind me. I leave that way because it's becoming increasingly difficult to lock the front door in the dark. So what I do is I lock it from the inside, and then I make my way down the back halls, turning off the lights as I go, and I come into the sanctuary by that door back there, and I set my course. Do you know how I set my course? By the cross. I know that light that is backlighting the cross gives that cross enough of a shadow for me to direct my course. And I walk down that center aisle. I never stumble. I never trip. I never go off course. Now, there was a period of time when I tried to take a shortcut, and I would come through that door and navigate by the cross. And after I had bucked my shins a few times in the chairs, I thought, this doesn't work. I need to go the right road. So I hit upon this path where there are no obstacles, where it's a clear shot. And the amazing thing is, I arrive at the cross and I can go beyond, and I arrive safely at home. There's darkness all around me, but the cross is backlit by that exit sign. So I can safely navigate because there are several things I know about the way. First, I know the way. In John chapter 14, verses 4 through 6, we read Jesus saying to the disciples, "You know the way to the place where I am going." Thomas said to him, "Lord, we don't know where you are going, so how can we know the way?" Jesus answered, "I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I know the way. The way of the cross leads home. Second, I know that the way is straight. God doesn't pull a fast one on us and hang a left turn or a right turn right when we are convinced it's going straight. He says that the road is straight. In fact, in Matthew 7:14, he says, "Straight is the gate and narrow is the way." Have you ever by chance heard of the straight and narrow? That does have a biblical basis. Right there. Straight is the gate, narrow is the way which leads unto life, and few there be that find it. You don't have to worry about high traffic on the road home. The prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 40, verses 3 and 4, "The voice of him that cries in the wilderness, prepare ye the way of the Lord, make straight in the desert a highway for our God." What's he say? Make straight. "Every valley shall be exalted, every mountain and hill shall be made low, and the crooked shall be made straight." I don't have to worry about weaving my way amongst the chairs. I know not only the way, but I know that that way is straight. Third, I know that that way is smooth. There's no hidden obstacles to trip me up. The highway of holiness, beloved people, is paved. It's straight. Isaiah went on in chapter 40, verse 4, and he said, "And the crooked places shall be made straight, and the rough places plain or smooth." God has had his heavy equipment out there, and he has prepared that highway in the desert. He has made it straight. He has made it smooth. All we have to do is get on the highway and follow the cross, set our course, know our destination, and we can find our way home. Let me reiterate them again. I know the way. The way is straight, and the way is smooth. And because I am confident in those three things, I can walk the straight path to the cross, beyond and home. I don't worry about tripping, stumbling, or going to the right or to the left. My eyes are on the cross, and an amazing thing happens. My feet follow. When your eyes are centered on the cross of the Lord Jesus Christ, your feet will follow. May I boldly reiterate what Scripture so clearly states? While it is true that all roads lead to eternity, there is no other way into the presence of the Father than through Jesus. And He has made that path clear. It's the path of the cross. Oswald Chambers again makes this statement, and I quote, "The cross of Jesus is not the cross of a martyr, but the door whereby God keeps open house for the universe." Open house for the universe. Because the way is unfamiliar, I need God's roadmap. Both the written word that we know of as the Word of God, the Bible, and the Logos, whom we know of as the Lord Jesus Christ, both the written word and the Logos is the illumination that I need for along the way. King David wrote in Psalm 119, verse 105, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." The cross, beloved people, is backlit by the glorious light of the resurrected Jesus. That's how we can see that cross in our present darkness. And already, we're in conclusion. I was struck by the significance of something that happened after the memorial service for Don McElroy on Friday. And that little incident, seeming so simple, gives further evidence to what we're talking about this morning. The church had prepared a light lunch for anyone who wanted to stay. A little over half did. But before that lunch was served, the family wanted a time for individuals to be able to express their grief and their condolences. So they stood at the entranceway to our sanctuary here, and they greeted people as they went out. And before long, and this sanctuary was packed, there were well over 100 people in here. Before long, there was a throng at the doorway, a bottleneck. There were some individuals that just wanted to go home. So they left by another route. They exited by the door behind the cross. And Carol and I were standing at the back, and she says, "Oh, so-and-so just left by way of the cross." What a beautiful epitaph for someone's funeral. They left by way of the cross. Because we walk in the shadow of the cross. Because the cross is our way home. George MacLeod made this statement, "I argue that the cross be raised again at the center of the marketplace as well as on the steeple of the church. That Jesus was not crucified in a cathedral between two candles, but on a cross between two thieves. On the town garbage heap, at a crossroads so cosmopolitan that they had to write his title in Hebrew and Latin and Greek. At the kind of place where cynics talk smut and thieves curse and soldiers grumble and gamble. Because that is where he died. And that is what he died about. That is where churchmen should be and what churchmen should be about." So I want to encourage you this morning to not only walk the path of the cross, but to help those other travelers that you come in contact with find their way also. The way of the cross leads home.